T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Is Boston Sports Station.
WEEI.
Sports Radio 93.7 WEEI FM and HD1 Lawrence Boston, a radio.com sports station.
Quick offensive possession there by Oklahoma City.
They're staying aggressive. I mean, even though he's got 4 fouls, T-Bird still staying aggressive.
Multiple fouls. Both officials blowing the whistle here. This one will be a block on Dennis Schroeder, who just picked up number 2.
Wow. So, now we saw that same foul get called on Lou Dort. I mean, he's in front of the guy, hit him in the chest. Now that thing would happen at the end there with Hani. That's after he called that foul on Schroeder. My goodness. Give the defense a break tonight.
All right, that was the local Thunder television broadcast tonight. Not very happy with Marcus Smart doing what he does, flopping. The Celtics, by the way, 7 in a row. They beat the Thunder 112-111. I'll get back to them in a second. And should we be upset that they didn't do anything at the trading deadline? If you want to weigh in on Tom Brady, certainly welcome to do that as well. The number 617-779-7937 is the number. Okay, so the latest now, the Mookie Betts trade, according to Jeff Passan and John Heyman, it is done. Mookie Betts is heading to the Dodgers along with David Price, and you're going to get back Alex Verdugo, the outfielder that was in the original trade, and to go along with him, you get a shortstop prospect, Jeter Downs. Downs is ranked 5th in the Dodgers organization in terms of their prospects, which, again, as I mentioned, it's a lot better than being 5th in the Red Sox organization. It's a good farm system with the Dodgers. And look, it's irritating that it took this long for the deal to get done because of everything that went on with the injury history of Gratterall. But at the end of this, this was wise of the Red Sox to make sure they didn't get somebody that was completely damaged goods in terms of the health, et cetera. So this is much better in terms of what the Red Sox are looking at in terms of the long-term outlook of the organization in terms of getting a guy like Downs in here instead of Gratterall, who's had all these injuries. But the one thing that I keep coming back to with this deal, and the one thing that I think aggravates people and fans, is the fact that, all right, so you get a good prospect in Downs and Verdugo, who was ranked a top 20 prospect in Major League Baseball a couple of years ago. And by the way, Downs is a top 100 guy. MLB.com has him in the 40s, and Baseball Prospectus, rather, has him in the top 100 as well. So this guy comes with a pedigree, and of course, Verdugo is somebody that is still a young player and somebody that was a top 20 prospect in baseball. But what most people are saying right now from a Red Sox perspective is it's not enough. And the reason people think that is because you needed to put Price in the deal. And that's the issue that you have with the Red Sox, is because you wanted to get underneath the CBT and because you have all these bad contracts on the books, you had to add a negative asset in David Price's contract to the deal with Mookie Betts. And that's the issue that I have with the whole thing from the beginning of this. The fact that you actually have to put David Price in the contract or in the deal, and you had to eat half of that deal, eat half of the contract just to get rid of David Price. And basically, a big time asset that you have in Mookie Betts, who is a former MVP of the league, you don't get the proper value for him. Even though he only has a year remaining on his contract, you don't get the proper value back for Mookie Betts in the whole equation because you had to attach David Price to the deal. The other thing that I would say that irritates me is Mookie Betts trying to do this spin where Jim Rice said he talked to Mookie recently and Mookie Betts said he wanted to be here. No, he didn't. If he wanted to be here, he would have worked on a more reasonable contract with the organization. He is not going to get a 12-year, $240 million or $420 million contract. He's not going to get that even on the open market. And by the way, I don't believe it would have been wise to give Mookie that contract anyway. Mookie Betts has no power to the opposite field. He's about 5'9", 180 pounds. He's going to age like Andrew McCutchen, 5'11", 195. The guy's got super quick hands. Look what happened with McCutchen. McCutchen's now 32. He's not good anymore. I believe the same thing's going to happen with Mookie Betts. He's not going to age well. He only had, what, 2 home runs to the opposite field last year. He doesn't have raw power. He has not been great in the postseason. I get it's a small sample size, but he hit 210 the year that the Red Sox won the World Series. He hit 1 home run, and it was in the clinching game. So I don't believe it would have been wise to give this guy a 10 to 12-year contract like ultimately he was hoping for. And by the way, that is something that Major League Baseball, it's such a bad system right now that they have, where basically when these guys become free agents, everybody's getting like 10, 12-year contracts. It's just not smart business. None of these deals work out in the long run. Look at Pujols. Look at Alex Rodriguez's second contract with the Yankees. Most of these contracts just don't work out. I already look at the Harper contract as a toxic thing. Look at the Nationals. They won without Harper, and now the Phillies got 13 years with that guy. 617-779-7937 is the number. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour or so. Let's get to Chris in Connecticut. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Brian. Good show. I like listening to you on the radio.
Appreciate it.
Just wanted to say, I like Alex Verdugo in right field. He's a switch hitter.
Yep.
He's got a little pop, and he's got a good arm. But this is a good trade, and I'll tell you why. Jeter Downs is coming to Boston, and he's blocked by Xander Bogaerts at shortstop. And I don't think this is the last move the Red Sox are going to make. And I think the Red Sox are going to look to flip Jeter Downs and try to get some young pitching prospects in here. And I just wanted to kind of hear your take on that. And I have no idea who. I don't know like what team they're going to look at or what pitchers they're going to look at. But I think he's enough of a high-end prospect to be able to bring in a couple of good young arms flipping Jeter Downs. And I think that's the next shoe to drop with this trade.
It's an interesting take, and I appreciate the phone call, Chris, that they would basically acquire Jeter Downs and then use Jeter Downs basically because you have Bogaerts under contract to look for pitching. I mean, you could do that in the future, but I want to see what Heim Bloom's going to do with the young guys, because now this is what Heim Bloom was brought in for, right? He trades for two. One guy's already a major league player, but he trades for a prospect and a young player in Alex Verdugo. And now this is what he came here for, is to rebuild the farm system, rebuild the organization. Now the clock is on Heim Bloom to try to figure out what he's going to do with this team. He was dealt an unfair hand when he took this job. And you can say, oh, he's making a lot of money to do this. But think about it. Your first thing that you have to do when you take on a role with a new team, the Red Sox, is you have to get rid of one of your best players who was a former MVP. And getting rid of him, you know you're not going to get the proper value in return because you have to attach a negative asset to that deal in David Price. So he was really put in an awfully difficult position to begin with because of all the bad contracts that were given out by the previous regime when you're talking about Sale, you're talking about Eovaldi, and you're talking about David Price. So now we'll see what Heim Bloom can do in terms of rebuilding this organization. And by the way, allocating all that money to Mookie Betts, whoever gives him that deal, it's not going to be good. None of these deals have worked out in the long run. You look at the history of them, there's really not many that you can point to and say, oh yeah, that was a good contract for the team. In most cases, they were bad contracts. That's normally how this stuff happens. We just saw it with David Price. And I get it's different than Mookie Betts because Mookie Betts is a position player. But look at how bad, even though David Price had that nice run in October one year, look at how bad that contract has been for the Red Sox. We're now at a point where you had to get rid of that contract. Now, the one thing I will say and give the Red Sox credit for is eventually you're going to have to get rid of that contract. And my thing with David Price is as this went on, that contract was going to get even more toxic, right? As this year went on, last year, again, he was hurt at the end of the season, dealing with injuries. What makes you think he was going to be healthy this year? There's been some sort of issue with Price every year. So that contract was going to continue to get worse. So the fact that you actually were able to move off it at some point and get out of it earlier rather than later and be stuck with it long term, you have to give Heim Bloom some credit for that. Because not a lot of teams are willing to take on that David Price money. And maybe the only way to get rid of David Price's contract was you had to put Mookie Betts in the deal. Because Mookie Betts is so good, and Mookie Betts now makes the Dodgers the overwhelming favorite to come out of the National League and get to the World Series, that they would say, all right, we'll take on David Price's bad money because they're so desperate. Remember, they've been knocking at the door for years. They went to back-to-back World Series, of course, last year lost to the Nationals. They've been knocking at the door for so many years to essentially get into the World Series and then win it because they can't win it so far. And they're saying, you know what? Even if we're renting Mookie Betts, we'll do it and we'll take on David Price. We're not going to give you the same return we would have otherwise, but we're taking the risk because we want to knock the door down and actually win the World Series. So the Red Sox getting rid of David Price's contract, it's big because you have so many bad contracts on the books. You needed to find a way to shed that salary. And the Mookie Betts criteria to this, I understand people are unhappy with the return, but putting David Price in the deal, you weren't going to get much more for it. And in the long term, it's better to get two prospects and get nothing for Mookie Betts because he's walking at the end of the season. That's just the reality of the situation. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Alex and Natick. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey.
So I just wanted to call about two things. I'm calling about Stidham and then the Celtics trade deadline.
Yeah.
I'm 100% down to give Stidham a shot. I know he had a bad first showing, but OTAs and more time on the field, I think he's going to come out looking like somebody completely different.
So, Alex, are you saying you're saying if Brady leaves, give Stidham the shot rather than go the journeyman route?
Yeah.
Or do you just want to get rid of Brady and go with Stidham?
No, I don't want to get rid of Brady, but I think it's time for both teams to part ways. You know, best of luck to him wherever he goes. He's going to be great. I'm always going to love Brady, but I think it is time for Stidham to get his showing. And then Celtics trade deadline. We always do nothing, so I'm not surprised. I wish we had done something. Not too sure what we could have done, but I'll take my answer off the air. What do you guys think we missed?
Okay, fair enough, Alex.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I appreciate the phone call. So that's what a lot of people are saying is, well, you should have at least done something at the deadline. Now, I can understand that. So my whole thing and the issue that I had with how the Celtics handled the trading deadline was, what I wanted to see the Celtics do is get an innings eater, so to speak, to use the baseball cliche. And what I mean by that is, if you look at the Celtics, they have, in terms of their bench scoring, they're 28th in the NBA. There's only two teams in the NBA that are worse in terms of bench scoring than the Celtics. So I know a lot of people wanted these big moves. I don't see that move being out there. But one of the moves that I would have looked at if I was the Celtics is, look at what Philadelphia was able to do. Golden State just wanted to get out of the luxury tax because they've been paying it for so many damn years near. Now, all they wanted to do was get out of the luxury tax. So they essentially gave away Glenn Robinson III and Alec Burks. Two guys, I'm not saying they're great players, but they're both averaging like 16 points a game in the case of Burks and about 14 in the case of Glenn Robinson. They're both shooting the ball very well from three-point territory next year, or this year rather. And at least they can give you some punch off the bench, unlike the guys you have right now. And all it cost Philadelphia was 3 second-round picks, and they're all horrible picks. So if that was available where you could get some guys, and I'm not even saying they're high-leverage playoff guys, I'm just saying to get through the regular season, because I know that the team was mostly healthy today and they beat Oklahoma City, but it seems like every game either Hayward's out or Kemba's out or Jaylen Brown's out or Tatum's out. It's not normal to have all four of those guys on the floor at the same time. And when you go to a bench that has nothing in terms of scoring punch, I would have liked to take a second-round pick, because second-round picks usually don't do anything for the team anyway, and the Celtics second-round picks are going to be garbage because the team's going to be drafting somewhere between like 23 and like 27 or whatever the case may be. If that was available and Philly was able to do it for 3 first-round picks, I would have been looking at guys like that, Alex Burks and Glenn Robinson III. I wasn't looking for a big move. I didn't see the big move being out there, but I would have liked to do something to help the depth of this team, because right now you got no scoring off the bench. Who's scoring off this bench? Brad Wanamaker, and I don't even dislike Wanamaker. He's a good defender, but he's not scoring off the bench. Javonte Green, who's the guy that you look at that's giving you punch off the bench from the perimeter? You don't have any of those guys.
Just the other day on the injury report, they tweeted out, and it took two different tweets that was so long.
Yeah, it's ridiculous how many injuries they've had, so I would have just liked to have somebody else. And Kemba was playing too many minutes before the last time he went down with a knee injury. Right before the knee injury, or the knee soreness, 38 minutes, 36 minutes. He's playing too many minutes, so just having some guys off the bench that can give you some scoring during the regular season. I'm not even talking about when you get to the playoffs. I'm just talking about help you get through the second half of the season. I would have just liked to add something in terms of perimeter scoring. And I'm giving you the example. I'm not saying just add anybody. I'm telling you, look at the deal that Philadelphia made. That was a smart deal for them. Let's get to Carney in Holyoke. What's up, Carney?
Hey, man. I want to talk about the Red Sox, but real quick on that last, the Celtics point.
Yeah.
What do you think about the Celtics picking up Marvin Williams? They're going to buy him out, and
he's going to Milwaukee. He's going to Milwaukee.
Well, they're last in line, so.
No, they're not last in line. What do you mean? But, he can go to anybody he wants. It's not like the NFL. You don't file a claim. He's going in Milwaukee. Yeah, he's going to Milwaukee. Right. He already committed to them. But yeah, no, to your point, Carney.
That would have been great.
Yeah, and Kemba was supposed to recruit him. Kemba said he's been spending a month. He's his former teammate.
Exactly.
That would have been a perfect guy for the Celtics. He can shoot from three-point territory, not to mention he's 6'8", 6'9". He can defend, but unfortunately, exactly, Milwaukee was more appealing to him, which is unfortunate. That would have been a good guy for the Celtics to bring in. Completely with you on that.
Agreed. Now, as far as the Red Sox go, you were talking about Price's contract not being a good contract, and I agree with you a little bit on the surface, but we did get a World Series win out of that. And how often do you expect to win the World Series? I mean,
the Red Sox have won 4 in 15 years.
Right. So is winning the World Series, say, once every 10 years, which in all reality, you should win it really only once every 30 years or so. is winning it once every 10 years more important than being competitive every single year?
Carney, listen, I get the point, but the problem is he was injured basically every year he was wearing a Red Sox uniform. He had some trip to the IR. You had all this drama off the field. And now look at the deal. You had to eat half of his contract just to get rid of the guy. That's how bad the contract is.
Well, that's fine, but you won a World Series. So isn't it worth it?
No, it wasn't worth it.
I don't understand. Goal is to win a World Series.
Okay, but you could have.
Every year?
Carney, the point is, there could have been somebody else that did something similar to David Price in that run. You could have found a different way instead of having David Price as the guy that you gave $217 million to.
Well, that's what you're saying, but that's not what happened. And you can't. You have no way of knowing that you could have found somebody else.
Okay, so do you think Nathan Eovaldi's deal was good?
The re-signing? No.
Okay.
Obviously, when they picked him up, it was a great trade because he carried him emotionally, not necessarily to a win in the playoffs, but he carried him emotionally in that one game where he pitched in relief.
Yeah.
I think that really helped.
Yeah, and they lost. I appreciate the call, Carney. I understand the point where you're saying, okay, you got a World Series out of David Price, and he was a major contributor in October that year. Remember, he went on short rest against the Astros. He bailed out Chris Hill, and I still believe he should have been the MVP of the World Series. But listen to what you got back for David Price. He's a negative asset. You had to basically pay money to get rid of David Price. So the contract in totality was not worth it with all the headaches that you've been dealing with David Price over the years. Let's get to Kelly in Amherst. What's up, Kelly?
Hey, what's going on, dude? I gotta disagree about the Philly thing. First of all, I don't think the Celtics should do anything like the Sixers are doing. They are hot garbage right now. But second of all,
Kelly. So I understand that the Sixers, they've been a massive disappointment this season. So if you're Elton Brand and you're running the Sixers, why wouldn't you try to fix some of your issues by adding some shooting?
I'm not saying that it was bad for the Sixers. I'm just saying that it would have been bad for the Celtics.
Why?
The Sixers already, I'll tell you why. Right. Since the Sixers have a big, giant, Goliath, behemoth guy in the middle, they don't need to get a guy in the middle to go against Embiid, to go against Giannis. If the Celtics were going to make a trade, they would have needed to make a trade for a big guy. But everybody's talking about, oh, get rid of Gordon Hayward or get rid of Jason Tatum. I'm like, those are both terrible ideas. I'm glad they didn't
right.
make a trade.
No, I'm with you on that. The deal wasn't out there. Like, it'd be one thing if you could have gone out there and got this great center that was better than Marcus Smart or Gordon Hayward. But that player wasn't available.
Agreed. And to your point about a couple of picks, anytime if you can get rid of a couple of picks, I don't care if they're first-round picks, you know, unless it's like number one or number two pick, go ahead and trade it because picks are usually garbage. So,
and especially in this draft too, Kelly, and I appreciate the phone call. You look at this draft right now. Some of the experts, if you will, Mike Schmitz from ESPN, Jonathan Givony, these guys are saying this could be one of the worst drafts we've seen in the past 20 years. Like, that's how bad this draft is going to be. So it's not exactly like these are appealing draft selections that you're going to be making in the coming years. Think about this for the Celtics, and this is unfortunate. You had basically the one competent season that the Kings had in recent history was last year, and it just so happens that's the year that the pick conveys for the Celtics. Ordinarily, the Kings suck, and somehow they were like mediocre last year where they were the ninth seed in the West. Okay, and now this year, Memphis, who has been garbage the past couple of years, they're competent to the point where they're right now the eighth seed in the Western Conference. So that pick isn't as appealing as it would have been previously that we expected it to be, right? You would think to yourself coming into the season, that Memphis pick may not even convey because it's, top three protected. So it may go to next year where it becomes an unprotected selection, but now it's definitely going to convey, and it's not as appealing. And second-round
picks... Less appealing now than it was 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, exactly. And by the way, second-round picks, they do nothing for me, okay? Yeah, every once in a while you find Draymond Green, but all I'm saying is if you could have gotten a couple of guys that can give you some... I don't even mean that they have to contribute at a high level to playoff games, because that's going to be Tatum and Hayward and Brown and Kemba Walker, right? I'm not even talking about the playoffs. I'm just talking about helping you down the stretch of the season, because right now, in terms of the guys that come off the bench from the perimeter, you get nothing in terms of scoring. Now, I like the fact that they're playing Langford now, and it looks like he has some potential, and I want him to stay in the rotation right now to just see what the kid can give you. But other than that, what is coming off your bench? Carson Edwards has just taken up a seat. That guy has proven nothing this season, and Brad Stevens doesn't trust him. So what else do you have coming off the bench that can give you some scoring punch? You got Cantor in terms of he can give you some low post scoring at times, but I would have just liked to upgrade the bench a little bit And if that was all the cost was for Philadelphia, I would have done that in a heartbeat if I was the Celtics. All right, a lot more to get into. We can continue to get into the Mookie Betts situation, as now he is heading to the Dodgers after all this stuff over the past couple of days. If you want to weigh in on that, the Tom Brady situation, and of course the Celtics, should they have done something at the deadline, all that on the table at 617-779-7937. We'll get you trending in just a second here.
The WEEI Sports Radio Network. You're locked in to the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Sox have been looking for a deal, right? They've been shopping about, look, here's what he got. What was it about this one that made it the one?
They were deciding between packages offered by the Los Angeles Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. Talks with the Padres, though, went dormant over the last couple of days while they put together this deal with the Dodgers. And ultimately, John, it came down to the Dodgers being willing to take back David Price's salary. Like you said, $96 million over 3 years. The Red Sox are going to pay more than half of that to give it back to the Los Angeles Dodgers. They slide David Price into the rotation. But really, this is a deal for Mookie Betts. And this is a deal that makes the Dodgers the favorites in the National League.
Finally! Finally!
All right. That was Jeff Passan of ESPN. The deal is done, according to Passan. John Heyman has it as well. Jeter Downs, a shortstop prospect, ranked fifth in the Dodgers organization. MLB.com has him in the top 50 in their prospects list. Alex Verdugo in the deal as well. David Price and Mookie Betts are heading to Los Angeles. It's funny. Everybody loves one of the guys, Mookie, and everybody dislikes the other guy, David Price. My favorite thing about David Price is, think about this. After his team wins the World Series, the number one thing on his mind was to go out to the media and stick it in the media's face. Not celebrate with his teammates and the moment and all that. No, what he wanted to do was get out to the podium. He was there before the reporters. He wanted to get out there to rub it in the reporter's face to say, I hold all the cards now. That was more important to him than like celebrating a World Series victory. That's what he was concerned about. I did also like the fact that when he was dealing with allergies, he brought that up. Oh, he's dealing with all that type of stuff. That's the one thing we wanted to deal with anymore, all these David Price injuries. 617-779-7937, the number. Let's get to Mark in Rockport. What's up, Mark?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Good.
I'm really enjoying your show, and I'm so glad you just said what you said. I forgot about that, how much I dislike Price, and I think, like you said, we probably speak for a lot of people. I mean, the guy was coming up with some of the craziest excuses. I mean, if it snows in Colorado, you know, my elbow hurts. Just nutty. I'm glad to see that guy go.
Yeah, I remember he had the issue, too, at the beginning of 2 years ago against the Yankees when it was too cold for him to pitch at the beginning of the season. He's been dealing with it his whole life, he said. I mean, jeez.
I've never heard anyone talk the way he does. So anyway, glad to get rid of him. I had some thoughts on the shortstop prospect, and I think actually the Red Sox could come out of this smelling like a rose long term. And by that I mean I really think at short and third they could be set for quite a while with Devers and Bogarts, you know, maybe 5 to 7 years, and lock those guys up. And then if you take this kid and maybe you start giving him ground balls at second base in the minors, and you know, suddenly you got a pretty decent looking infield, or possibly package him up for either another pitching prospect or an outfield prospect to replace.
Yeah,
you know,
Mark, look, it's a good ship to have because you just picked up a guy that comes from a good farm system who's a top 50 player. It's a good ship to have, whether he eventually becomes an everyday player for you or you use him in a trade down the road. It's definitely a good thing. And the Red Sox needed to do this. They couldn't take on Gratterall with all the medical history he had in terms of the shoulder injury and the elbow issue. So this makes total sense for the Red Sox to go after a guy like this, not to mention the fact that with David Price involved in the deal, this is about as well as Chaim Bloom was going to do. You get a top five guy in the Dodgers organization. Verdugo's got a lot of talent as well. There's not much more that Chaim Bloom could have pulled off in this deal, considering that Price had to be attached to this.
I agree, and I think a lot of people are down on the Sox because of Mookie, but I actually feel oddly optimistic. Maybe not, you know, this could be a transitional year, but I don't know. I like the way this is setting up.
And Mark, to your point, think about this. Why are the Red Sox in the situation they are in right now where they have to get rid of a guy like David Price? Because they have so many damn bad contracts. If you gave Mookie this 12-year, $420 million contract he wanted, it would have been another bad contract on your books in a couple of years, and you would have been doing this whole thing all over again.
Absolutely. How much do we love the Dodgers, though, when it comes to taking our big contracts off our hands?
Right. Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford. Back. That's a good point. I appreciate the call, Mark. And look, Mookie is going to have a good year with the Dodgers. Okay, he's entering his 27-year-old season. He'll have a good year there, and he'll get a big money deal from somebody out there. So Mookie's going to have a good year out in Los Angeles. But the problem was he wasn't going to be here long term. So you had to eventually get rid of him. I don't care all this crap that he says, oh, just because I want to go to free agency doesn't mean I don't want to be here. I'm sorry. Everybody that goes to free agency, for the most part, they leave. That's normally how it happens. And Jim Rice going on MLB Network radio the other day and saying that Mookie said that he wanted to be here. Well, his behavior doesn't tell us that he did. If Mookie Betts wanted to be here, he would have done what Xander Bogaerts did, whereas he said, hey, I want an extension. Now, I understand that Mookie has the right to go to free agency. That's his decision. He doesn't want to be here, fine. But this is what you do if a player doesn't want to be here. You have to get some value for a guy that was the former MVP of the American League. That's what you need to do. You need to trade the guy. You don't wait until the deadline. And think about this. You couldn't have done that. You couldn't have waited until the deadline, because what tells you that you were going to be able to get rid of Price's money then? If you were going to be go to the deadline, Price may be hurt again by then, and the contract becomes even more toxic and even more difficult to move. So it wouldn't have been worth waiting to the deadline. You had to do this now. And to Heim Bloom's credit, you got a better prospect than you were originally going to get from Minnesota in terms of this guy doesn't have all the health issues that Gratterall had, and you got Verdugo to go with him as well. And this is the first step in the process in terms of trying to rebuild some of the farm system, and you got some value for Mookie Betts considering that you needed to put David Price in that deal as well. Now, for the 2020 season, I'm just worried about what this team's actually going to look like in terms of the rotation. Martin Perez was one of the worst starting pitchers in all of Major League Baseball. Chris Sale had health issues last year, and he wasn't very good when he was on the mound. Now, I do like what we saw from Erod last year. 3.81 ERA was over 200 innings. I like that. But Eovaldi was horrible last year, whether he was in relief or whether he was a starting pitcher in terms of how they started him and then they went back to him. He just wasn't good all year, and he's got 3 years remaining on that contract, $17 million per. So in terms of the pitching staff, it's going to be an awfully difficult year from the Red Sox perspective. I do want to get back to the Celtics, and if you want to weigh in on the Mookie situation, you can at 617-779-7937. Now, I've heard a lot of this week that the Celtics should have gone after a guy like Andre Drummond. I don't understand the infatuation that people around here have with Andre Drummond. Why does anybody want Andre Drummond on the team? First of all, he's on a max contract in Detroit. So it's right around 5 years, $127 million. He has a player option for next season of $28.7 million. So if Andre Drummond didn't have the market out there that maybe he's hoping for, nobody's given this guy like a five-year max. He could have just opted into that contract. Then you're stuck with Andre Drummond for next year at $28.7 million. By the way, Drummond just tweeted like 2 days ago after he was traded about how pissed he was about going to Cleveland and how it was unfair that he was getting traded and all this different type of crap and how there's no loyalty in sports. So think about that. He's upset that he was just traded to Cleveland. He's a guy that was an all-star for 2 years in 16 and in 18. He thinks that he is like a star-level player, okay? Andre Drummond would be like, what, the sixth best player on the Celtics, the fifth best player on the Celtics, depending on how you grade him, because he's not better than Hayward. He's not better than Tatum. He's not better than Kemba. He's not better than Jaylen. Heck, I would take Marcus Smart over Andre Drummond right now. So don't you think that a guy that was the best player in his mind in Detroit and is an all-star level player, don't you think that there would be ego issues here if he came to the Celtics and they asked him to play the role of Tice or Cantor, where, hey, we'll give you like 20 minutes a game, roll to the basket if you're playing the Tice role, dunk occasionally, but we're not going to run any offense through you. Do you think he would have been okay taking that role? I don't think he'd be okay taking that role whatsoever. So I totally understand why the Celtics would not go after a guy like Andre Drummond, who, quite frankly, the player is overrated. So everybody's saying, oh, you need a big guy for the playoffs because if you face Embiid, if you face Giannis. Well, let me tell you this about Andre Drummond. Embiid murders him every time they play. Embiid owns him. Andre Drummond can't cover Joel Embiid, so it's not worth going after a guy for $28.5 million and having him on the team this year and you give up. I get it. It's not like you had to give up a lot for the guy, but you don't have the contracts that a team like Cleveland has, right? They had bad contracts on their books, John Henson and Brandon Knight. You don't have those contracts. So if the Celtics are going to get the money to trade for this guy, Marcus Smart or Gordon Hayward would have to be in the deal. And Hayward and Smart are much better players than Andre Drummond is right now. So first of all, Embiid murders him every time he plays him. And last year, the Pistons played Andre Drummond's Detroit Pistons, or they played Giannis's Bucks. Andre Drummond's Pistons played Giannis's Bucks. I don't know why that was so difficult for me to say. But in that series, Giannis averaged 26 points per game in 28 minutes. They were swept, and he shot 51% from the field. So yeah, Andre Drummond really helped out last year in the playoffs against Giannis Antetokounmpo. So it's not as if he's a good rim protector, and it's not as if he can shut down a big-time center like Joel Embiid. So I just don't understand the appeal of this guy. And everybody points, oh, he's a great rebounder. Okay, he averages 15.8 rebounds per game. I get that. That looks good on paper. But I'm telling you, with Andre Drummond, those stats are completely fraudulent. Okay, the team rebounding rate of the Pistons is 14th in the league. So those numbers are actually hollow. If the team was like the number two or the number three rebounding team in the league, those rebounding numbers would actually mean something. The Celtics are a better rebounding team than the Detroit Pistons. So yeah, he goes after every rebound, but it's not like he's boxing guys out and he's making sure that his team has a high rate of rebounds. No, he's a rebound hog. He's just running after the basketball to make sure that he can pad his stats. So those numbers are completely fraudulent. They're 14th in rebound percentage in the NBA. Not to mention the fact that when you look at Andre Drummond, he doesn't shoot threes. He shoots 4.8% from three. He barely takes any. So essentially what he does is he can ruin your spacing offensively, at least with a guy like Daniel Tice. And look, he's shooting like 30%, but at least Daniel Tice is willing to take a three, and it looks pretty nice. Like, he's shot the ball better as of late. Now, I understand he's dealing with an injury right now, but I much rather have like the poo-poo platter of Enes Kanter and Daniel Tice, and Robert Williams had a workout today where he looks like he's on the track to come back from the hip injury. I much rather have that three-person rotation than to have one guy like Andre Drummond in here, because I got different things that those guys can do. When you're thinking about Tice, he can stretch the court a little bit at least. He can also roll to the basket. He does a very good job at that, and he knows his role. Kanter knows his role. Okay, come off the bench and score a little bit. Kanter's not complaining, and Kanter's not arguing about playing time. You think Andre Drummond would be okay if the Celtics are closing out a game and he's not on the court? The guy's got too big of an ego at that particular point in time, and I don't understand giving up Hayward or Marcus Smart for that guy. It just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. And I just think about it. Okay, so when the Warriors are winning championships, and look, don't go crazy. I'm not comparing this version of the Celtics to the Golden State Warriors. But think about what they had at the center position. Even going back to their first one without Kevin Durant, you had Andrew Bogut, who's a pretty good player, and then behind him, you had Festus Ezeli. So it's not like you had star players at the center position. You also look at the fact that if you look at the recent Warriors teams that won championships, who did you have in that role with them? You had guys like JaVale McGee, right? Kevon Looney. These aren't star-level players. You don't need like a star-level center and allocating a ton of your salary cap to that player and giving up an asset for that player. It just doesn't make sense to get a player like Andre Drummond in terms of what you need on the court. So I don't understand why people were complaining about that. And the other thing I would look at is think about what they gave up. Right, so the Cleveland Cavaliers acquired Andre Drummond. All they had to give up was two awful contracts to match the salary, of course, which the Celtics don't have awful contracts, and a second-round pick. That's it for a guy that is a former All-Star of the NBA. What does that tell you? Did you see any of the other teams that are, you know, contenders in the NBA interested in Andre Drummond? Were the Clippers interested in Andre Drummond? Absolutely not. Were the Bucks interested in Andre Drummond? Absolutely not. So none of these like contending teams thought that Andre Drummond was going to be somebody that could come into their team and help put them over the top. It would be one thing if Andre Drummond was a complete difference maker, or that difference maker at the center position was actually available. So if you're talking about a guy like Miles Turner, who's been up and down this year for Indiana, but he can shoot threes, he has the ability to stretch the defense, and he can defend the rim pretty well, and he's under a long-term contract, and it's not an awful contract, and with the Pacers, there's a little bit of redundancy with Sabonis and Turner. So if that player was available, a young guy that fits this team's window with Tatum and Brown, etc., that can block shots and can actually stretch the defense, okay, then you have me entertained when you're talking about the potential of trading somebody for him. But with Andre Drummond, his skill set just does not fit in the modern-day NBA. He's a relic in this league right now. That's why there wasn't a big-time market for a guy like Andre Drummond. That's why it made no sense for the Celtics to go after him and give up a second-round pick for that guy. Now, if you want to give up a second-round pick for some bench scoring, okay, but not for a guy like Andre Drummond, especially considering what you would have had to have done contractually, giving up a guy like Marcus Smart or giving up a guy like Gordon Hayward in a deal for Andre Drummond. And the other thing I would just say, first of all, Gordon Hayward, and I understand he's up and down and people get upset with him, but Gordon Hayward is way better than Andre Drummond right now. And the other thing I would ask you that is this with the Celtics, as it pertains to Hayward, because I've heard a lot of people saying they should have traded Gordon Hayward at some point. Let me ask you this. The Celtics have had an image problem. They've had an issue over the years attracting free agents, right? Al Horford's like the biggest free agent to ever sign here recently, right? So they've had this image issue. And when Isaiah Thomas gets injured, and I'm not saying Danny Ainge did the wrong thing, but he plays hurt through that postseason. He was going to get a max contract from somebody, but then he has the hip injury, and Ainge trades him away. You had Anthony Davis's father reference this last summer, that they don't treat their players well. Now, it's unfair. Danny Ainge did the right thing by getting rid of Isaiah Thomas, but they got rid of Isaiah Thomas when he was dealing with a hip injury, and he sacrificed himself for the team. Okay, you've had an issue getting free agents over the years. Do you really want to be the team that trades away Gordon Hayward? Think about how that would look like in terms of your perception to players around the league. Okay, a guy that came to play for his college coach in Brad Stevens, had this gruesome leg injury, broke his leg, and now you trade that guy? That would just look so bad from a PR standpoint for the Celtics. And even not getting into the PR, Gordon Hayward's better than Drummond. So I don't understand why anybody would want to trade Gordon Hayward or Marcus Smart for Drummond. Drummond doesn't upgrade your team in any way, shape, or form. He's not going to be a better defender against Embiid. He sucks against him. And it's not like he did anything in the postseason last year that prevented Giannis from getting to the rim with relative ease. All right, a lot more to get into. If you want to hop on board, weigh in on the Mookie Betts situation. Now he is going to the Dodgers along with David Price. The Tom Brady situation still on the table as well. Should the Celtics have done something at the trading deadline? You can weigh in on that as well. The number 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI.
This is the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
All right, Brian Barrett with you until the top of the hour, taking you up until 7 o'clock. The number is 617-779-7937. If you're just joining us, the breaking news today, the Mookie Betts trade that happened earlier in the week but then didn't happen, it's back on. Jeff Passan of ESPN reporting. Now the Red Sox will get back. Jeter Downs, a shortstop prospect, ranked fifth in the Dodgers organization. MLB has him as a top 50 prospect in all of baseball. Of course, he's coming here along with Alex Verdugo. Price goes in the deal with Mookie Betts to the Dodgers. And the way that I say this is, if David Price had to be attached to this deal, which he did, they wanted to get underneath the CBT, this is about as well as you were going to do, considering you had to take on a toxic contract if you were the Dodgers in the form of David Price. So I don't believe that the Red Sox are going to do too much better than this. You get two prospects backed, and I guess Verdugo's a major league player, but you get the point, a young player and a prospect in Jeter Downs. So I don't think the Red Sox are going to do much better than what they got back. Unfortunately, it sucks that Mookie didn't want to be here long term, but I believe the contract would have been bad anyway. These 10-year contracts don't ordinarily work out, and Mookie wanted to go to free agency. When guys go to free agency, they don't ordinarily come back, and I don't think that Mookie's going to age particularly well, considering the fact that his game's based on athleticism, his bat speed, etc. Usually those things slow down as you get older. And I look at a guy like Andrew McCutchen, who at 32 was not a good player last year. I'm not saying it's going to be the same exact timeline for Mookie Betts, but I believe the final 5 to 6 years of whatever contract Mookie Betts signs with whoever he goes to, it's going to be a toxic, bad contract. And we just found out, when you pile up a lot of bad contracts like the Red Sox have over the past couple of years, Price, and we'll see, I get Sales is just starting, but it doesn't look good right now. Of all these looks bad, we've seen it in the past with the Pablo Sandovals of the world, the Hanley Ramirez's of the world. So when you line up all these bad contracts, it ends up being an issue for the team long term, and you don't want to be in that position again. So not giving Mookie that contract extension is wise to begin with, and quite frankly, I don't believe he wanted to be here. Anyway, with the Celtics as well, people all over them about not doing much at the trading deadline. My suggestion was I would have liked them to see them get just an innings eater like Alec Burks and, of course, like Glenn Robinson, like the Sixers got, where the price was just second round picks. That's it. I would have liked that because the Celtics are 28th in bench scoring. I'm not saying it's so significant for the playoff run, but just to basically give these guys a break during the regular season where your starters have to do all the scoring for you. But other than that, I wouldn't have been going after a big name like an Andre Drummond or something along those lines. That just doesn't make sense to me. So the other thing I would say is, with the Eastern Conference, one of the discussions that was had this week nationally was, oh, does this make the Heat the second best team in the East because they got Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder, one of the chief competitors to the Celtics in the East, right, the Heat? I don't understand this whatsoever. Like, people are hyping up the Heat like they're so good now because they got Andre Iguodala, as if it's like getting Scottie Pippen in his prime. This dude is 36. He shot 33% from three last year and averaged 5.7 points per game. And all of a sudden, people are acting, Jay Williams from ESPN is acting like, oh, all of a sudden now the Heat, they're the second best team in the East because they got Andre Iguodala and Jay Crowder, who we all know, Jay Crowder sucks. The guy shoots 30% from three, and all of a sudden, Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala are like the difference makers for a title-contending team. I mean, give me a break. That's an absolute joke. Andre Iguodala is like the biggest winner of the trading deadline because Andre Iguodala got an extension for $30 million. He hasn't played basketball. He got a $30 million extension. Unbelievable. So credit to him, but I don't think he's a difference maker for the Heat. In fact, I know he's not going to be the difference maker of the Heat. One other quick note in terms of the deadline. Our old friend Marcus Morris went to the Clippers to go play for Doc Rivers, got traded there. I feel like that could be more of an issue than everybody's making it out to be. Everybody thinks it's like this unbelievable move for the Clippers. Now, I understand he can play defense on LeBron, or at least try to, and now you get three guys, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard as well. But Marcus Morris is like the guy on the Knicks. And we saw him last year. This guy hijacked the offense all the time. He was a black hole. He wouldn't stop shooting. He's going to think, like, in the fourth quarter with 3 minutes left in the game, he's going to think, yeah, Kawhi, I got this, man. Paul George, no, I got this, Paul. I'm going to take the shot. That's what I fear for the Clippers. And not that I'm a Clippers fan, but Marcus Morris could be taking shots in the fourth quarter instead of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George and going from finally being the guy in New York to not being the guy. I think that's going to be an issue. The other thing I would say is this. This is the playoff run where we find out how good of a coach Brad Stevens is because he's overachieved in previous years. And then last year, of course, this team underachieved. But now think about it. You got similar teams in terms of talent with the Heat, with the Raptors, and with the 76ers and the Celtics, and the Pacers even throw in that mix. All those teams have good coaches except Philadelphia. Brett Brown sucks. But think about it. You have Spoelstra, championship-level coach. You have Nick Nurse, championship-level coach. Nate McMillan's been a really good coach the past couple of years. Defense is always really good. So now we'll find out how good of a playoff coach Brad Stevens actually is when he goes up against teams like that and coaches like that. This is the year that we find out if Brad Stevens is a good coach or not. Now, I think he's a good coach, but I'm talking about does he elevate the team to the next level? Because he's going to have his hands full trying to match X's and O's with Spoelstra and with Nick Nurse. All right, thanks to Dylan and Bridget for producing. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe and be well.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.